You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
I invite the signatories of the agreement to exchange the documents now.
It is an historic day in Zimbabwe as two bitter political rivals come to a compromise. President Robert Mugabe and the opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai have signed a power-sharing deal aimed at resolving the country's political and economic crisis. The two men smiled and shook hands in a colorful ceremony in the capital, Harare, attended by African leaders. Under the deal, Robert Mugabe remains president while Mr. Tsvangirai becomes prime minister with substantial powers. For more, we're joined on the line from Johannesburg, South Africa, by BBC correspondent Adam Minot. Thanks for being with us, Adam.
Pleasure.
So what does this deal mean exactly? What is a prime minister with substantial powers?
We don't yet know the full details surrounding this deal, but what it does look like is an approximately 50-50 split in executive authority. You've got, as you said, Robert Mugabe remaining president and head of state, and he will head a cabinet made up of 31 ministers. And at the same time, you've got a prime minister who will head another cabinet committee made up of the same members. So there is still a bit of confusion as to exactly how this power-sharing agreement will take place. It's taken 2 months to get here, 2 months of negotiations that were on again, off again, very nearly collapsed in ruins. And this, of course, follows the disputed election that took place back in March. So I think you're right. I think this is going to be a historic day, almost whatever happens. There are still some skeptics who believe that it is possible that full power sharing will not take place and that President Mugabe will retain the grip on power that he's held for the past 28 years.
Adam, that brings me to a question about the tipping point here. Given the context for which you've just outlined that this power-sharing agreement has come to fruition, what was it that finally forced Mugabe to agree, at least on paper, to sharing a government that he's ruled for nearly 30 years?
I mean, I think there were a number of factors, probably not just one. I think there were several things that played into this. There was certainly the intervention of the South African president, Thabo Mbeki, who's been leading the negotiations. I think his influence was undoubtedly strong. I think another key factor was the continuing collapse of the Zimbabwean economy, where inflation is now estimated to be running at an astonishing 20,000,000% annually. Now, that renders the economy and the financial situation, the financial system in Zimbabwe almost completely meaningless and without power. So I think that that was certainly a key factor. And I think possibly a recognition by Robert Mugabe that his chances really of clinging on to power in the face of a growing opposition were simply impossible.
And his rival, Tsvangirai, has certainly been a potent opposition force. Let's listen to what Tsvangirai says is the reason that he agreed to this power-sharing split.
I have signed this agreement because I believe it represents the best opportunity for us to build a peaceful, prosperous, democratic Zimbabwe. I have signed this agreement because my belief in Zimbabwe and its peoples runs deeper than the scars I bear from the struggle. I have signed this agreement because my hope for the future is stronger than the grief I feel for the needless suffering of the past years.
And Adam, what do you make of that?
Well, I think that in there is an implicit reference to the fact that some in his party, the MDC, the Movement for Democratic Change, were not happy with the deal as outlined, this 50-50 share out of power. Some have accused the MDC of backing down under pressure. But I think what Morgan Tsvangirai was trying to say there was this was simply the best deal available on offer, and he simply couldn't have done better. And I think what is key now is to see how the power sharing unfolds in the course of the coming days, weeks, possibly even months, because we've got two very powerful men at the head of their separate power blocks. And really, it's how these men are able to wield executive power under a changing situation and how quickly they can move towards a new constitution and new elections sometime after 18 months.
Now, you've said that few details have been released as to the specifics of the power-sharing agreement. Do you have any sense of what happens now? It's been signed. What's the next step?
Well, we should get an announcement of first of all, what ministries have been outlined. There are going to be 31 ministries. Also, who occupies these key ministerial posts. Now, I understand that some key financial posts are going to go to the opposition, or perhaps we ought now to call them the former opposition, while ZANU-PF, Robert Mugabe's party, will retain defence. So it's the share out of those key portfolios that's important. It's also very important to see what happens to the civil service, which is very politicised. It's a ZANU-PF civil service, effectively, and I know that the MDC are very keen that it should be depoliticized. And perhaps the most
Adam, that's an interesting point there. What happens on the street with these two parties? It seems like ZANU-PF has to worry about succession, because ultimately this is kind of the swan song for Mugabe, one way or another. But the MDC sort of party leadership and followers, they have a completely different question. It's ally themselves closer to Tsvangirai.
Yes, I mean, how it plays out on the streets, I think, will be very interesting. And I think one thing to note is that when the first round of the election took place back in March, and when Tsvangirai won, there were people out on the streets cheering and waving and very excited about it. They weren't so excited about this power-sharing deal. So I think there's quite a bit of nervousness in the country about how exactly this is going to evolve and who indeed gets their hands on those key levers of power. And particularly with the economy in free fall, people are calling for a change at the Reserve Bank, the central bank of Zimbabwe, that there should be a new governor there. And I think people are even now talking really about a new currency, since the Zimbabwean dollar has collapsed completely.
Adam Minot, thanks for that update. And we'll be looking to you to see what happens next. Adam Minot reports for the BBC. He was coming to us from Johannesburg. And now we're going to turn to Femi Oke. He's got some headlines for us. Femi?
Thanks very much. It's just coming up to 20 minutes to the top of the hour.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.